Hello, this is the Daily Encouragement Net podcast for Tuesday, February 26th, 2008. A rainy, overcast day here in our neck of the woods, but what a joy to be sitting together with my wife of 32 years and preparing the message today and hopefully sharing a word of encouragement and, in today's case, especially humor with you. Our ministry is called Daily Encouragement Net. Today's message is titled Eutychus. The scripture text is from Acts 20, verse 9.
Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead.
For some time, the clock on the back wall of our church has not been working. As I recall, the last time I preached, I commented on it, using it to the preacher's advantage. The trustees have been working on the matter, having replaced the first clock that broke, but apparently the second clock has not been keeping time either. Yesterday, my friend Ken called me about a clock they were considering purchasing online. Now, Ken is an enthusiastic, diligent young man who is a joy to be around. He was concerned about online security and was calling me for advice. He was excited about the clock they had in mind. It was an atomic clock, he told me. Well, when I hear atomic, I think nuclear, and I semi-teased him as to whether it was wise to have a nuclear-powered clock in church. Our area was personally impacted nearly 30 years ago by the Three Mile Island nuclear power plant accident, and people around here can be sensitive about these matters. Well, he laughed and informed me that by atomic, it somehow got the time from a satellite and was accurate to 1/1,000,000 of a second. Well, I'm just hoping that doesn't cause too much stress for our pastor. Many churches have clocks, although I've met a few who, for theological reasons, do not allow them in the sanctuary. As a pastor for many years, I grew accustomed to seeing people discreetly glance at the clock on the back wall as the worship service was nearing an end. But I've never seen a clock on the front wall behind the preacher. I wonder why.
Acts 20 is an interesting story. The Apostle Paul is traveling and stops by Troas, where he stayed for 7 days. On the last day he was with them, they gathered to break bread, and Paul spoke to the people. He kept talking till midnight in an upstairs room with many lamps when a most unusual event took place.
Well, the first part of your daily verse states, seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. Well, I can imagine that lengthy service. I've been in some myself. I'm usually pretty tired by midnight. Lamps of their time surely would not have provided the type of light conducive to wakefulness. And Eutychus sat in an upstairs window. Surely a recipe for disaster as Paul talked on and on.
Well, sermons have gotten shorter during my lifetime and certainly have throughout Bible and church history. Most people don't want more than half an hour now in much of the Western church, and the pastors sure better have some bells and whistles to keep the people's attention, like PowerPoint and video supplements. But people still fall asleep in church, and I'm going to have to confess, I have certainly done that in my lifetime more than once.
Me too. Well, the verse goes on to state, when he, and that's Eutychus, was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Now, I've experienced some interesting disruptions in church services. I recall as a little boy someone dropping the offering plate off the balcony with a loud clash of change spilling out in all directions on the tile floor. Thankfully, it didn't hit anybody below. The common disruption in our churches today are the cell phones that don't get turned off. That's one thing for parishioners to forget to turn off the ringer. It's quite another annoyance when they feel obligated to take the call right in their pew, which actually happened one time when I was preaching. Well, I'm getting off subject, and the clock on my computer is ticking away. Well, actually not literally ticking. Accurate timing and all, so let's get back to the subject.
Well, if the internet were available in the New Testament period, this would have been certainly a top news story, hitting every public and cable network and major newspaper. Reporters surely would have been on the scene with their interpretation of the situation.
And you'll have to look at the entire text for the rest of the story, but in a nutshell, well, he fell out and was picked up dead, but Paul went down, picked him up, and he was okay, and Paul went back to preaching and preached till early morning. Wow, that must have been a long church service.
The full meaning of the story, perhaps only God knows, but clearly this is an account of human weakness and divine intervention. Now, the next time you get sleepy in church, perhaps Eutychus' story will come to mind, and hopefully it'll prompt you to sit a little taller and lean forward as you listen more intently to what God has to say through his messenger.
Amen. Well, Brooksine, I'm going to say the prayer today. Brooksine always writes the prayer, but we ended up with her sharing the last paragraph, and then she's got a note concerning her dad that I want her to share today. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for godly messengers who faithfully feed your children by diligently teaching the whole counsel of your holy word. Some attend church with an intense spiritual hunger. That's the way we should. While others may come out of a sense of duty or to be seen by others. Give us a hungry heart that yearns for more of you so that our lives are set apart to honor and glorify Jesus Christ in all we do. May we be attentive to your life-transforming truths as you impart them to our hearts. Amen.
Well, a story I've shared today, I have very vivid memories of growing up in church with a father who always slept during the pastor's sermons. Daddy was a laborer who would fall asleep in most any setting if he wasn't engaged in conversation or physically laboring. As we grew older, my siblings and I would sit a few rows in front of my parents, but we'd know when Daddy fell asleep. There'd be a deep, masculine snore, and then it would suddenly stop. Well, Mom kept Dad snoring under control by kicking her foot against his. He'd wake up momentarily, but fall back to sleep in a short time. One Sunday evening, he fell asleep, and I don't know why, but he was sitting toward the front of the church in this service. Even in his sleep, he could often follow the order of the service. He was in a sleepy stupor, and he mistakenly thought the pastor said, "Brother Cheryl, would you close our time in prayer?" Daddy suddenly stood up and began to pray out. Well, at the end of his prayer, he found out that the pastor was actually in the middle of his sermon and did not ask him to close in prayer. Perhaps that extremely embarrassing experience kept him a bit more alert for at least the following Sunday.
And I can picture Dad doing that. He passed away about, what, 8 years ago. Well, thanks for joining us today. It's been an unusual message. We had to ask ourselves the question, I wonder why this story's in the Bible. And we ask ourselves the question as we conclude today's message is, as far as spiritual truth, I'm glad Brooksine did tie some in as she did her part on it. But we're on the web at dailyencouragement.net. We do have several photos up today, some that we feel kind of give some added color and support to the message, such as a sleeping man in church. We also have a beautiful photo taken today by a friend of ours, a photo of three doves feeding. I say a friend of ours, I call her an online friend whom I never met, but she has given us permission to use her pictures. Well, thanks so much again for joining us. May you be encouraged today. May you stay faithful. And we'll end with the theme, may you stay attentive as you listen to God's word spoke in church.